This week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hype. Welcome to Hype Episode 6. Usual suspects here this week, Tariq, Selena, Josh, and I, here to update you on all the latest stories, the biggest stories on Hypeable, including the Catching Fire trailer, which we missed by 3 days.
amazing.
It seems like we always miss, like, by doing this every other week, we miss out. We've missed out on, like, the Grammys and the Oscars and now the Catching Fire trailer. But nonetheless, we're going to talk about it now. It was released at the MTV Movie Awards. It kind of sucked because they saved it for the very end. And the MTV Movie Awards are just so trashy and not funny that it was really painful to get through. Tariq or Josh, were you watching when...
Yeah, I watched. We talked about, like, Snoop Dogg was smoking weed on stage, reportedly. Yeah. And it just felt like they were just trying to push the edge so far. It's just terrible.
It was pretty bad. I didn't watch it live because I was at work, but I tried watching a recording that I had of it, and I only recorded half of it. And at that point, I was actually, like, thankful because I didn't have to watch the entire thing.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm not looking for the rest of this. I'm just gonna watch the trailer.
Yeah, if I'm like Lionsgate, I'm like embarrassed that I'm premiering my big movie trailer with such garbage as these jokes about pubic hair, and oh, it was really nasty.
Yeah, like Seth Rogen that had his pants off. It was just like, what the
hell?
That
was so bad.
And everyone loves Rebel Wilson. I'm probably going to get crucified.
Oh, yeah.
For this,
no, I love
her. I just didn't like her. I mean, she just looks so awkward up there with those shoulder pads. Yeah. I was like, I can't take anything serious, you know?
It was so bad.
Which maybe is the point.
And it's sort of like after the 1,000th fat joke, it's kind of just like, okay, we get it. You're a fat comedian.
That's right.
You're making fun of yourself.
It's kind of like how I feel about Game of Thrones at the moment. It's like they always do fat jokes, and I'm like, but it's not really that funny.
Really? On Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Huh. I don't recall a fat joke.
What? They maybe do like five every episode.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry, that's off topic. It just reminded me of that.
Anyway, but yeah.
So let's talk Catching Fire trailer. Well, first of all, they were promoting it as a teaser trailer, but it really felt like a theatrical trailer to me.
Yes.
Yeah. 2 minutes, 26 seconds.
It focused, there's a big focus on President Snow and Katniss, and we got a line out of PETA. And
Gale,
we
was in it a lot.
Yeah. We saw his whipping. We also saw Plutarch Heavensby, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, which looked great.
Yeah, I've always loved him as an actor, as we used to talk about on Hunger Games chat. And seeing him feature so much in this trailer really surprised me. Overall, a success, you guys think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They did a great job of showcasing the plot in a way, kind of, that it doesn't ruin the second half of the book at all. And it still gets you interested in, like, what does he mean the victors have to be eradicated? Like, what is that? And so I think even for the casual viewer who's just watched the movie once and then remembers it and watches this trailer, I think they would like it and they'll look forward to the next one.
It's funny that you say that, because that was actually something I wanted to ask you guys, because I thought that this trailer was fantastic. I love the rebellion. I love that part of the story. I love seeing that movement. At the same time, though, that's not what this book is about, and it's not going to be what this movie is about. This book is a second Hunger Games.
Yeah.
It's not where the rebellion starts. Spoiler alert, I guess. But so I was wondering if, because while I think that it's a good point that people are saying, oh, it makes sense to keep the actual games a complete surprise, I actually disagree. I think if you have no idea what the story is about, you need to make it very clear to people that there are going to be more games in this second movie called The Hunger Games. So I was surprised they didn't show any of that at all.
You know, I actually disagree with you there.
A lot of people disagree with me there.
I think I'm one of those people that actually likes going to a movie not knowing anything. That's how I've seen several movies. like, not even having watched a trailer, a friend just goes, hey, you want to see this? I'm like, sure. And so I feel like it's more pleasant that way because you don't know what you're getting into and you have no expectations at that point. And I feel like the only bad thing is I do agree with you that people are setting it up to be like a revolution and that's not what this movie is going to be. And that's the only thing I disagree, like, I agree with you on, but everything else, I'm like, they should keep the games away. I really want the entire audience to just be like, wait, what? Just like we were in the books.
Well, there's a difference between not showing, you know, too much and then tricking you into thinking it's a certain type of movie. You know what I mean? Which is what I think Selena's saying, is that we're seeing all this footage from the rebellion, which may amount to the, you know, entirety of the rebellion that we'll see in this film. So it's kind of like we're seeing one thing, but we're going to see another. Sure, it's, you know, exciting that we won't know, or the fans won't know when they go in. But people who haven't read the books are probably like, oh, this isn't anything like I thought, you know, it would be.
That's really exactly what I mean. And but at the same time, I think that that's probably going to, because notice they didn't show any of the other tributes either. So I have a feeling that they're probably keeping some of that for the second trailer. As opposed to saving it all the way until the movie, like that would be ridiculous.
Right.
I think that this is just like, it's going to be like a theme trailer. Like this is the rebellion theme trailer. The next one is going to be the tribute theme trailer. That's going to show us, what the hell is his name? Finnick.
Finnick. Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Or Senna.
Senna.
his ship has arrived.
You know, that's gonna, Johanna, they're gonna show us all these people, and that's gonna be more focused on the game part of it. At least I hope so.
Yeah, we really didn't see a lot of the new actors or the younger actors that were hired, you know, that day after day, you know, a few months ago. I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman was the only new actor that we saw, the big actor.
And I understand why they want to promote him, because it's like, hey guys, we have him in our movie.
It brings your movie like 10 notches up, you know, from where it was before.
Even though people like Richard on Hypeable have no idea who he is, but you guys may remember though, with the Hunger Games movie, we didn't see anything in any promotional material really past the start of the games. So that next trailer, which if it does feature the tributes, which I agree, I think it will, we may go as far as to seeing the photos of them about to start the games, but that's it. Because with the Hunger Games, they were marketing it as the games begin March 22nd.
Yeah.
And I think they'll do that same thing here, where you won't see any of the games because the games begin November 22nd.
Hmm. They did, at least they said in the first trailer, that there's going to be Hunger Games in this one. Hello.
Yeah.
Children will die.
Yes.
That's what's really interesting is I'm wondering how it seems like they're focusing on the rebellion a lot more in these movies than they have in the books, so just to get people more interested in it, I think, maybe. I think it's weird because they put in that extra scene of District 11 in the first movie, which wasn't in the books, to get that riot started. Mm-hmm. And then this trailer's pointing out all of the rebellion things, and like it's screaming to the normal viewer, hey, this is about a rebellion. This is what this overall arc is about. And I feel like it's weird because they're not focusing enough on the games, but it's.
Maybe they will in that because they're splitting the third movie into two. Maybe they're, I mean, obviously the third movie is all about the rebellion. So maybe they realize that audiences are really into that. So they're going to play up that angle.
I think they needed a stronger arc. You know, I think Katniss just fighting so that she can go back home and, you know, run in the woods is not a good enough reason to, you know, win the Hunger Games.
Right.
You need, you know, an audience needs to, you know, want to fight for something, you know, or want to see someone fight for something. And fighting against a rebellion is a great, you know, a great arc.
And they're probably making it so that people get a clear differential between this and Battle Royale, because so many people are like, oh, Hunger Games is just like Battle Royale. But with this trailer that really just like it makes them very clear that there's a two
makes it about more
stories
than just the you're right
and rebellions are relevant right now as well. I mean,
as
you know,
seen by that one image in the trailer that's taken from a rebellion that's happening in the Middle East right now. I mean, that was pretty striking.
Exactly. So people watch this trailer and it almost kind of hits home, or at least hits home in terms of what they see on the news.
Yeah.
And that's what I think I loved most about this trailer, is that there was a realistic sense to it. I watched it it had such a different, I don't know if it was just the look or it was this whole theme of rebellion that just made it feel so real. And I loved that. And I hope that's what Francis Lawrence brings across in the rest of the movie. And speaking of him, what did you guys, were there any sort of hints of Francis sprinkled through this trailer? Have we all forgotten about Gary Ross now, or what?
Hopefully. Kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it just had a darker... I like the color in the trailer. I was overall very pleased. And everybody seemed to love it.
I really liked the fact that they put in the shooting of the man from... What district was that? Were they in?
Was it 11?
Well, I don't know. I think it was, maybe.
It must have been 11, because that's what happened. It's the whole Rue thing, isn't it?
Yeah, because in the background, in one of the shots...
Her father or something like that in the books, isn't it?
Yeah. I love that they included that in the trailer just to show them exactly how powerful like these people are and what's at stake.
And in the background of one of the shots, you can actually see Rue on the screen. Somebody pointed out to me. So, and I think it was that scene with shooting the guy. So that's probably on the money. I think that's about it in terms of what to talk about with the trailer. I know, like I mentioned, I loved seeing the whipping scene. That was a pleasant surprise. Oh, and also...
I don't know if I would call it the right word to use for that, but okay.
What? Surprise?
It looks terrifying. No, pleasant surprise. I think it's gonna be haunting when you actually see it.
It was a pleasant surprise to see it in the trailer.
And obviously it's fun to for the fans to have that such a big focus on the Katniss Gale romance.
Yeah.
I bet movie fans will be like, what just happened?
It'll be right.
Fun. Who is Gale?
Yeah. Well, I saw him in a poster for the first movie.
Yeah, he was in the first one for 20 seconds.
Is he that emo guy who kept staring at Katniss when she was in the game?
Oh, shippers are so mad right now.
He's a better looking guy.
that was a blink and you miss it shot. I didn't see it. The first.
What did you say?
The shot of Katniss and Gale kissing.
Oh,
you didn't see it the first time or two. Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, it's a quick shot. It's only like 2 or 3 seconds towards the end.
That's weird because it really stood out in my mind. It was like, whoa.
Huh? Are you team Gale?
No, I'm team PETA.
I'm
team Gale for myself, but team PETA.
Especially now that he broke up with Miley Cyrus.
What?
Yeah, the engagement is off.
I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
After that haircut.
One other thing in the Catching Fire trailer that I thought was really cool was the graffiti on one of the buildings that said the odds are never in your favor.
I might notice that, too.
In our favor. That was great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and chins up, smiles on.
That was I love that. It
was fantastic.
That was a great outfit of Katniss's, by the way, in that scene with the what's her face? I'm terrible with names today. I'm sorry. Effie.
Yeah. Just reading through a couple of the comments on Hypeable. One of our readers was actually an extra in the movie. Her name, her handle on the site is Echo Rin. She said, "It's been so hard to hold in, but I think I'm finally allowed to say it since this had at least four of my scenes in it. Guys, I'm in this trailer. Thank you, Hypeable, for posting about the extras casting last summer. I would have never gotten the chance to be in it otherwise."
Wow.
She said she was in the districts. She got to do a whole lot of rioting, which was quite an exciting experience. That would be fun.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Hypeable and MuggleNet have really brought people. You know, Ivana Lynch got the role of Luna because of the casting call posted on MuggleNet. What are you going to say, Josh?
I was going to say she actually gave us the timestamps that she was in the trailer. So that's pretty cool.
We'll have to print it out and have her sign it for us. Now she's a movie star. We're going to move on to some other dystopian news in just a second. But first... Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. And for listeners of Hype, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. It is summertime, so it is the perfect time to try Audible because maybe you're out at the beach or you're walking around town, beautiful weather. And once you're done listening to Hype or any of our other podcasts, you just turn on your audiobook and you listen for hours on end. It's really fantastic because you just have this endless amount of material to listen to. What did we recommended The Great Gatsby last time, right?
Yeah.
Because it was narrated by Jake Gyllenhaal, of all people. Yeah. This week, let's recommend Catching Fire. It's available on Audible, narrated by Carolyn McCormick. Of course, book two in the Hunger Games series. This baby's 12 hours. And you may say, well, that's, geez, that's really long. But if you're going on a, if you're going on maybe a road trip, or you're just at the beach, or you're just spending a lot of time outside this summer, which a lot of people are, Audible is the perfect way to supplement all of that time out and about, because you don't really want to be carrying around a book. That could be kind of a pain. Try Audible. Audiblepodcast.com/hype. Get Catching Fire for free. Listen to it, and you can compare it to reading it. And then, you know, you have all this knowledge now that you've been listening to Catching Fire again. Go watch the trailer again and be like, oh, yeah, I remember that scene. I remember that scene. Wait, that wasn't in the book. Damn you, Francis! Audiblepodcast.com/hype. Thanks to Audible for their support. So as I mentioned, let's talk about some other dystopian news. Big dystopian news. Have you guys heard about Divergent yet?
No.
No, what is that? I don't understand. Is that detergent? I don't
know. Gosh, I hope this lives up to expectations. This week, well, the past couple of weeks, we've got two huge pieces of news. Let's start with the book first. We now know that Divergent Book 3 is going to be called...
Dun, dun, dun.
Detergent.
Allegiant. And it shocked everybody because it ended with an A-N-T. Whereas Divergent and Insurgent...
Scandalous.
Yeah. Those two obviously ended with E-N-T. So everybody was expecting it to be a different title.
Someone yes, just made emergent. A mistake. They're like, I think it's ENT.
A lot of people didn't even know Allegiant was a word, including our own McCall.
I didn't know it was a word.
It's cool, though. Allegiant is an interesting use. It's an interesting word choice because it says a lot about, you know, what Triss might be going through in this final book. Some yeah, conflicts she might have about who to ally herself with.
The definition is loyal and faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Plays in the
but
that
to
nice...
whom?
Right. It should have been called Allegiant 2-4.
Yes.
The cover is going to be released next month. They're doing this Harry Potter style. We get the release date, then we get the title, and then finally we'll get the cover. And that is
which
apparently
is smart. I mean, they're tapping
like they're
into
a
really excitable, yeah, almost. But you know, it's like they're tapping into a really excitable audience. So that's the way to do it.
Excitable audience. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there will be more to come concerning Veronica Roth and Divergent, including more movie news. We got our first look at Divergent, the movie. They picked a perfect photo to use as the first look at the film. It's Triss in the knife-throwing scene, and it's a tease. We see Triss on the left side, and we see the wall of knives. She's standing up against it, and no look at four yet, but... exciting. I mean, this is our first look. It's a big deal.
I think she's going to be great. I mean, we had a reader submit a column to Hypeable saying, you know, let's just give Shailene Woodley a chance in Divergent. Like, let's not judge her too soon. And I think, I mean, everything I've seen so far, this picture being the only thing I've seen so far. It looks great. Yes, yeah. Exactly. I'm really excited. I think she looks great. She looks like a Triss to me.
Well, some people say, because the anger over the hair color.
Color.
It looks red.
She's
also shooting Spider-Man, so. It's just bleeding through.
Oh, that's a good point. Yet many of our readers aren't bothered by that. Tariq actually wrote a great article the other day saying, give Shailene a chance.
Oh, it was Tariq? I thought it was, for some reason, I'm so sorry.
I was like, wait,
Tariq doesn't work for the side anymore. He's just, whatever. He just hangs around.
So, like, with any first look or early looks at movies, people are complaining. We had this with The Hunger Games. I'm sure it existed back with Harry Potter and Twilight to some extent. So, Tariq, you took to Hypeable. You wrote an original piece because what were you trying to argue with? What were you trying to say to the haters?
Convey.
Well, it was it was just that people assume that Shailene Woodley is this, like, this horrible girl who's going to ruin The Fault in Our Stars and ruin Divergent. And there's really no basis for it other than the fact that she was in The Secret Life of an American Teenager on ABC Family. And admittedly, that show was just horrible. It was a bad show. But she was just acting in it. She didn't have, like, she didn't produce anything. She didn't come up with the idea for the show. And so, because I think whenever you see an actor in a bad movie and you don't know that actor from previous things, you just think terrible things of them. But Shailene won, like, a bunch of awards and, like, got nominated for her work in The Descendants, which she kind of proved herself to be a better actress than what people had thought she was from The Secret Life. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we have so many different other actors and actresses who were in movie flops who went on to win Oscars. And so I was just bringing up a couple of examples of that. And as well as the fact that you can't argue with three different studios hiring the same girl to play a pivotal role in a franchise that's probably going to be huge. So if it was like one studio and they hired her for like three sequels or like two different movies, and it would make sense. It was like, oh, she has an in, but she doesn't have an in. She's just really, really good.
Yeah, I liked that point most. I mean, arguably, she could also have a good agent, but there's a reason that three different studios picked her for these major films. So
yeah, I mean,
and picked her despite of the fact that she's already doing so much, you know?
Yeah.
That worries me a little because I feel like you need to focus on like one big, you know, if you're doing like a franchise, you focus on one big one and sometimes they turn out great. So I'm a little concerned about, you know, I think she's great, you know, I just feel like I don't know how she's going to deal. What if two of these, you know, break off and do really well? You know, how is she going to deal with, you know, all that press and all that fame? So it's just maybe more concern for her than the films.
She's about to become America's sweetheart. Look out, Jennifer Lawrence. Shailene's coming after you.
Actually, you know, that's kind of funny because it is like America just picks some actress or actor and they become like the everything is about them. And then someone else comes along. That's always the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to some other news now. Selena and Tariq, last night, the Vampire Diaries spinoff, The Originals, premiered.
Indeed it did.
How was it?
As me and Tariq today spent 2 hours on Vampire Hype discussing this very thing, which I'm going to be cutting down later today. Tariq, do you want to share your reactions first?
It was great. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was just me being, I think just to explain what this is. It's the Vampire Diaries on the CW is doing a spin-off show called The Original, focused on the original vampires, which are some very interesting enigmatic characters on that show, which this was like the backup pilot airing as an episode of the Vampire Diaries. And if it's picked up, it will start airing this fall. Okay, go.
Well, I'm just going to say that it was a great way to do a pilot because not only do you get, it's a spin-off, so you want to get the people invested in the original show to watch this show. So I don't think I've ever personally seen a show that had a backdoor pilot in the series. And so I thought it was pulled off really, really fantastically. You get a new look at all these different characters, not only the same characters, but new characters. And it just gets you more invested into what they are and what they're doing and why they're there. And I feel like if anyone is a fan of the Vampire Diaries and for some reason you missed this episode or you don't want to watch this because you don't want to watch the originals, give it a chance because it's great.
Mm-hmm. And since we're discussing this, you know, just full disclosure, this is a spoiler alert. I loved this episode. I loved it so much until they introduced the vampire pregnancy. In which case I was like, are you serious? Are you going to Twilight this? Really? But even so, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's no excuse. It's just ridiculous. At the same time, I'm still excited for this because it does have a lot of potential. The actors are great. The setting of New Orleans is fantastic. The vampire baby thing is okay, fine, whatever. But if you want to hear me and Tariq discuss this at length, you can check out the Vampire Hype podcast, which can be found on hypeable.com.
Okay. I'm reading some of the comments. It was generally well received by everybody, at least our readers.
A lot of people hated that twist, though.
Yeah.
If you read the comments, people love it. Or people love this. That's what people are saying. Like, people are sort of sticking up for the twist. But in general, I think people loved the episode, was very confused by that random ass storyline.
Vampire babies make money. It's been proven.
Yeah.
Maybe they just wanted to make a splash with the spinoff. They knew that would get everybody talking.
It's not, that's the thing is that I think it's so ironic that for a show that's called The Originals, they did something so unoriginal.
So unoriginal.
What's that?
They should have called it irony.
That would have been perfect.
Yes.
When is this going to get picked up then? I mean, should it be soon now that it aired?
Yeah, I mean, whenever the CW makes a selection, no pun intended, because the selection is also a contender for the fall season. And they've got, I mean, we've talked about this before, they've got about 10 really, really promising new pilots, and they aren't going to be able to pick up more than, say, 4 or 5 at the very most, if that even. So we'll see. The ratings weren't as good as hoped, which is kind of worrying. But at the same time, The Vampire Diaries is such a huge hit for the CW.
Yeah.
It's probably their biggest hit, actually. Maybe barring Supernatural. But I think, you know, it's a fairly good chance, I would say. But obviously, we'll let you know on Hypeable as soon as we have news on this.
Okay. We can always count on you, Selena, for the latest news concerning The Vampire Diaries. Let's move on to some other news now. A little bit of Harry Potter news to talk about today. First of all, just real quick, Wizarding World Hollywood, that's actually happening now. So good news for me and future SoCal resident Tariq, who will want to hit up the Hogshead every weekend for some butterbeers, man.
And yeah.
I'm so jealous. That sounds so nerdy and so awesome.
It seems so surreal to me that Wizarding World Hollywood is going to be 15 minutes away from me, and I will be there every weekend. That's not even a joke. When I want to go to a bar on the weekend, it's going to be the Hogshead, and that's it.
I want to go.
Well, when you come out and visit us.
Oh, we'll go have butterbeers.
Yeah. And that's supposed to open, it's rumored to be 2015, so it's still a long ways off. But I mean, they announced it back in December 2011, and then just earlier this week, it got officially approved. Like, and construction isn't going to start till this summer. So, I mean, this thing could have opened like this summer if they actually started when they announced it. But they had to get all kinds of approvals and stuff, and they have to knock down an old theater, so it's a whole big thing. Star Wars movies are going to be coming every summer beginning in 2015.
Okay, that's ridiculous. I don't even watch Star. I've never seen Star Wars, and I'm just like, that is ridiculous.
Disney, that is ridiculous. Who bought Lucasfilm, their plan is to start with Episode 7 in summer 2015, and then they're going to be doing episodes 8 and 9 in 2017 and 2019, and in 2016 and 2018, in between those episodes films, they're going to release standalone films, and I presume they'll do one in 2019 or 2020 as well. So
it's crazy.
This is just too greedy for me. I mean, come on, guys.
Well,
they've spent
so much money on this, you know, franchise, and now they have to get, you know, they have to get their money back, you know.
Right,
so
but
they're just getting pushed. No, I agree. I think it's terrible, but the way it works is if you spend $4 billion on, you know, something, you have to make something out of it.
So yeah, this is turning into the geeky version of Land Before Time.
But what
if they're good?
Yeah,
I just hope they're good.
That's what I was going to say. What if they're really good? I mean, we're kind of in this period now where we're getting these really great superhero space films, like of course Avengers, Star Trek. This new Superman's supposed to be really good. The Batman films have been really good. Like, what if they get it? Just like, what if they're really good? Is it a problem then?
But Disney also gave us John Carter last year, so it's a little, you know, it's a little worrisome. But now they have all these characters that they can use, so it might make it a little bit easier because people already like the characters.
Yeah, and I mean, like, look at the X-Men standalone films with the Wolverine, and that second one's coming out what, this year or next year? I mean, it's they're all, things have been good lately for these types of movies.
Things have been good.
Yeah, I guess.
Feel like if they feel a little forced, but you know, not any more than you know.
Don't they just feel like factory jobs to you though? At this point, like I feel like I can go and enjoy a story.
I just feel like they, like you said, it feels factory. You know, it feels like it's just not. There's nothing original. But maybe there will. You know, maybe there will be. We don't know. They just haven't released anything, and you know, they've already got some directors lined up, so that'll be good. Yeah, I mean, J.J. Abrams is doing the first one, right?
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, I have faith. I think that's it's insane. I mean, because, like, movie news starts happening 2 or 3 years in advance of the film actually coming out. So, like, we're going to be juggling coverage of multiple Star Wars films simultaneously. Yeah. It's going to be pretty insane.
Like a keyword nightmare.
We are going to have to hire a Star Wars writer. There's no way around that.
Yeah.
Let's stay on the topic of movies here. There's a new trailer, a few new trailers in the past week. I know Thor 2 was one of them. We don't have it in the doc, but there was also The Bling Ring co-starring, Emma Watson, Katie Chang, who apparently is the actual star of the movie. Claire,
who we haven't seen much of at all.
Right. Literally every photo from The Bling Ring has included Emma Watson in
every,
it.
The whole trailer was Emma Watson.
Yeah.
And I thought there was like 12 seconds of the other actors.
And I mean, understandably so, because she is the big star in the movie. But this new trailer that came out was really, really good. It got me really excited.
It does. It looks interesting.
It follows, it's a true story of these girls that were known as the Bling Ring that went
and a guy that
robbed Hollywood homes, including Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, Megan Fox, and Orlando Bloom. And the trailer looks great, so I'm excited.
I saw a TV movie called The Bling Ring the other night, so they must have made a TV straight to TV movie.
Oh, okay.
I didn't watch it, obviously, Emma Watson wasn't in it, so.
Right. What's the point otherwise?
What's the point?
And speaking of movie trailers, there's also one released for Monsters University. That's the Monsters, Inc. prequel. I'm really excited. This latest trailer didn't seem to get everybody up in a tizzy, but I'm very excited. And it comes out June 21st. And this trailer just had a lot of classic Mike and Sully moments that people loved from Monsters, Inc., which came out in 2001, and it's been screening already on college campuses, and it screened at CinemaCon, and it got a lot of good reviews so far. People are saying it's a classic movie. It's got that classic Pixar heart in it, and it makes you want to watch Monsters, Inc. again as well. So apparently it's going to be a hit.
What do you think it's not getting as much, attention as the other ones?
I think people are, there's just been a lot of promotional material. There's already been two trailers and maybe people weren't watching the trailer on our site. So I got the bad rocking impression. I mean, the other trailers did well on our site. I'm not sure why this one.
Yeah, I do. I remember the other one did well.
Well, it's probably because they released so many other trailers.
Yeah.
Plus, like, I think, there are a lot of people, myself included, who don't want to watch every trailer because if you do that, then all of the comedy and all of like the major plot arcs are kind of like revealed to you and you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
It's less impressive when you go in to see the movie. So.
Yeah, it does get pretty crazy. And Josh, you said right before we started recording that there's what, 16 Iron Man 3 clips?
Yeah, I mean, it's, and the sad thing is I have to report on them, so I have to watch them. So I've seen, you know, at least 15 minutes of the movie. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, that does.
Do you remember when that they did that for Harry Potter too? Every book, yeah. Movie. Like, I think the fourth movie was probably the worst. They released the entire movie.
Deathly Hallows Part 1, they show the ending in the trailer. Remember when Voldemort yeah. pointing up towards the sky?
Oh,
I was like, really? They ended the movie on what the trailer should?
Yeah, that does stink. It's, it is too much. And it happens every like, I remember with every Harry Potter movie and with every Twilight movie and Hunger Games, people start commenting, oh my God, they've released the whole thing at this point, blah, blah, blah. But they're just trying to make sure that everybody's aware that the movie's coming out, I think.
Well, and this is Disney's first chance to promote Iron Man, you know, since they bought Marvel. So they're just, you know, going all out. I mean, I even did a piece on how much promotion was going on because they've got it on their monorails or whatever. They've got like Iron Man and Don Cheadle on the other side of the trains or whatever. So it's just nuts, you know.
Our next story, none of us, as we've established previously, have read 50 Shades of Grey. Right?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Correct.
And yet, I personally find it fascinating to talk about because I still can't believe this is going to be a movie.
I did read half of it.
Oh, you did?
I did. It was not good.
It was awesome.
We found out earlier this week that Gus Van Sant, he directed Milk, apparently really wants to direct this movie because he shot a sex scene with Alex Pettifer in it.
That's so funny.
Yeah, they shot it in Louisiana last weekend. And we don't know the girl who was in this scene just yet.
Emma Watson.
In your dreams.
You wish.
But he did this because he wanted to share his vision of 50 Shades for the author and the producer and the screenwriter. So, yeah, like I said, we don't know the girl who was involved. It was an actress, apparently. One report said there were multiple actresses.
He wore the first few out.
Yeah. So this doesn't mean that he's going to play Christian Grey, but if Gus Van Sant gets the gig, then he certainly has a shot at it.
What's interesting is this seems to be like a new trend going on, you know, and I don't know if this may have happened before, but in Hollywood, it's like, Gus Van Sant, you know, he shoots a scene and shows it to the, you know, the studio and they see if they want to make the film with him. Well, like Edgar Wright, he did that with Ant-Man and he made like a test reel for Marvel and he ended up getting hired and now they're making the movie. So I think this is a new, you know, I don't know if it's new, but it's definitely starting to be more prominent where directors are taking a shot, you know, even spending their own money sometimes just to get a, you know, get some footage up to the studio.
Yeah. I wonder why he wants it so bad. I mean, it just seems like you're...
That does seem odd.
He's going to make a hell of a lot of money.
Well,
you think so? Really, I feel like it's kind of died down.
Yeah.
Really?
I agree. I think it's died down a lot.
Like,
and
three months ago,
but don't you think when
the movie, I think it would have blown up. You know what I mean?
When but the movie I haven't is heard about released, it. When the actor for Christian Grey is released, it's going to blow right back up, depending on who they pick.
What if it's like a no-name?
No pun intended. Yeah, well, then maybe not, but...
If they have enough shirtless pics, then they'll get up.
If they find someone like Ian Somerhalder or Alex Pettifer or someone of that level, I think they'll be fine. And anything up from that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be rated R, right? So it can't make that much money.
at least R.
Then it'll give him a name for himself. You know, he'll always be known as the guy who directed 50 Shades. Like, you can see the appeal, even though it's weird.
I don't think any movie studio is going to want to then hire him and then put it in their credits from the guy who directed 50 Shades.
I don't know about that. I think that's a seller. Like, there's something there, I think.
Yeah, and I feel like all the readers are going to want to see the movie, so it doesn't really matter if the hype isn't there right now. It just matters if the readers love the book and are now want to actually look at it and get all hot and sweaty in the movie theater.
Yeah. No, there's obviously, you know, people who are going to see it. Well, like you said, everyone who read it, who liked it at all will want to see it. So they already have their audience and that's probably why they're moving forward.
Right. It's supposed to be released next summer.
Is it possible to watch it and just fast forward just to see all the Christian Grey scenes? Like,
I'm sure on the DVD that will be a special feature.
at the theater. You can just fast forward.
Well, because like with the Twilight DVDs, there's these special features where you can jump to just the Edward scenes or just the Jacob scenes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Oh, is that really a thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
what's the feature called?
I don't know.
Edward Cam.
Yeah. Edward Cam.
No, I don't know.
Midnight Sun.
Right. I'm looking at the book Fifty Shades of Grey on Amazon right now. It's currently number 22 in the top 100 books list.
Oh, how they tumble.
Yeah, but that's still pretty high. I mean,
it's done. You know, I'm just saying it was number one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But inevitably, I mean, it wasn't going to stay. I feel like all of 2012, it was up towards the top, right?
Yeah.
But then there's these other books. Like I'm looking at the USA Today bestseller list, and number two right now is this book called Damaged, and it's a shirtless guy, and the synopsis is Sydney's one night stand takes a wrong turn when her mystery lover turns out to be her new professor.
It doesn't seem that hard to get to the top of the list to me.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like these types of books. 50 Shades isn't that popular right now just because people are reading the 50 Shades spinoffs.
Yeah.
Beautiful Stranger and Beautiful Bastard is another series right now that's kind of that is a 50 Shades spinoff.
So funny. Like, seriously, NC-17 fan fiction is finally having its day.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good for them.
I mean, it's great. Respect. It's great. The women generally love reading this type of stuff. It turns them on.
And they've done this for
good
a while.
For them.
I mean, there has been romantic novels
forever. Yeah, of course.
And they're really big sellers. I mean, I remember reading about it in college, just how important these were to the book industry, you know?
Yeah, I remember in my hometown going to the library and seeing towards the front of the shelves these books with these very risque covers on them.
It's the big muscle dudes, you know, with their, you know, beautiful girl beside them.
And like the cloaks wrapped around them in the wind.
Yeah. Maybe we saw the same book. It's weird.
Well, because they all look the same.
Yeah, they all do. They just use the same cover to save money.
Right. Right. And they know what sells. I could be a model on those covers, you know.
Yeah.
Some other news to wrap up this discussion.
I love the awkward silence. I'm sorry. That was really
Well,
weird.
You're all thinking about it. And you're all thinking, that's right.
Yeah, you are.
That's totally right. Let's talk some TV news. American Idol. Apparently, it's been getting awful ratings. You know, this used to be America's show. Everybody would tune into American Idol. Randy, Paula, and Simon. I mean, they were the dream team of judges. Great chemistry. They were all kind of new. So everybody liked these new, hot American talent. Hot just in terms of their skills.
Yeah.
With the exception of Paula Abdul.
I think Simon was just, you know, people were, you know, kind of stuck to him, you know what I mean? Americans were, because they were just like, holy, you know,
he was funny, honest and British.
Yeah, he's just, who is this, you know, asshole British guy who's hilarious, you know?
So
and
now
that's probably just worn off, you know?
So now the show is at record low viewership. This Thursday night's episode, smallest viewership ever. It just keeps going down and down. But earlier this week, we found out that the producers actually tried to replace Mariah Carey with Jennifer Lopez, bring her back in the middle of the season. Like this season, they were trying to do it this season.
Do you think that's because she's just like a terrible person, or they just wanted to like increase ratings?
Yeah, I think it was
controversy.
Both. Mariah Carey hasn't done that well on the show. She's just another a singer on there just given these kind of bland opinions, but people liked Jennifer Lopez more last season. She was more emotional and honest on stage. I just can't believe they were going to do this or tried to do it. I mean, I would have tuned in to watch that.
When I first saw this headline, I imagined it like they would replace an actor to replace a character on like a TV show. I'm like, I'm pretty sure people would notice that's that the same person.
Just put a Mariah Carey
calling
him
wig. Mariah, see if nobody noticed. Yeah.
So that was the first thing.
They should have done it on air, like had her like move her out of the chair.
Yeah,
that would be so
sit in.
Push her off.
You're voted home. Goodbye.
Right.
You're not going to Vegas.
They actually didn't eliminate anybody this week, so it would have been crazy if they eliminated Mariah Carey instead.
You are the weakest link. Yeah.
Exterminate your torch and you leave the island.
Does anyone really watch this show anymore? I guess not.
Well, no, that was my point. Nobody's watching anymore, and that's why they wanted to replace Mariah Carey with Jennifer Lopez. I like Nicki Minaj on it. I think she's good, actually. She puts out good opinions.
I feel bad for the contestants on the show because they have to battle with this show that's really not doing well. And they just want to, you know, get their start in Hollywood.
Right.
I feel so bad for them because they're not going to get anywhere because no one cares about who won American Idol now. When Kelly Clarkson won, that was like awesome and everyone loved her. And for a couple of seasons after that, people are like, oh, this American Idol's great. You're going to get her album or his album. And now it's just like, American what?
Yeah.
Well, the who is the blonde girl that she sings country now?
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood.
Yes, she did amazing.
Yeah.
Or she's done amazing, really.
Yeah, a few of them have.
Jennifer Kelly Hudson, Clarkson. I think, especially her. Like she didn't even win. She got booted off. She was fourth, I think, or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got hired to act, and that's what really launched her.
David Cook.
It's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say it's so funny because, I mean, you guys with American Idol and X Factor and all of those, like, you actually see people go on to have success usually, whereas back home, taking part in competitions like this, like, we have the X Factor too, and talent, which is, like, Denmark's Got Talent, and people who take part in these, they're, like, national jokes. They're, like, laughing stocks. Like, I think... Only one, we've had it for like 10 years and 15 years. Only one of the people that have ever won has gone on to produce a second record.
Mm.
Because nobody buys it. Nobody thinks it's cool.
Three, four, maybe.
You've had most of those like go on to have some kind of modicum of a career, like Adam Lambert and Chris What's-His-Face. Like even people like them, they still have fan bases, you know?
Yeah, good.
Whereas here, people think they're lame. They play at like supermarkets. It's really funny.
Yeah, that's the reality, I think, of a lot of these shows, unfortunately. But people tune in just because they want to see who wins. Like, they get attached. But speaking of that, I heard yesterday that the winner of Idol this year, who's going to be a girl, mm-hmm. they are going to release their album 6 weeks after the show ends. That's a new, they never do it that quick. And the reason why is because they want to do it while people still remember the person. Because they wait so long that these days with Idol viewership so low, they forget. So 6 weeks, they're going to have an album out, which is, I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How, I mean, they must have all the songs.
They must be working on it like right now.
Working on it right now.
Yeah. Right. It's just, I have to think the album won't be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't a surprise. side note, X Factor season 3, it was hosted, season 2 was hosted by Mario Lopez and Khloe Kardashian. Season 3 will not include Khloe Kardashian. No one cares, so we'll move on.
Yeah, I was just like, I honestly don't know who Khloe Kardashian is.
Let's talk about somebody we do care about, and that is Darren Criss.
Yes, please.
He announced he's going to be going on tour this summer, his Listen Up summer tour, and he'll also be debuting new songs this year on an album, and he's going to be debuting some of the songs at the tour stop. So we're going to hear them live first before we hear the studio album.
I'm so a part of all the like hysteria surrounding Darren Criss, but I do think he's a brilliant singer. On Glee, I think him and Lea Michele are my by far the most talented, and Naya Rivera, and I love everything that they sing. So I'll definitely check out this album. I think it'll be really good.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's got a great stage presence as well on Glee and whatever mm-hmm. he does. So his tour kicks off in San Francisco, his hometown, and it runs through the next month, and it's June 30th in Maryland. Tickets now going on sale. It's going on sale Saturday, April 27th. So buy them. I think demand's going to be insane. So it's going to be hard to get tickets to this.
Do you think he's trying to make his way into like, you know, real films and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. He's got a film with Kristen Wiig. I know that.
Seems like his fame, and I'm probably going to yell that, it kind of like fades away and then comes back when he does something. You know, it's like, feels like it kind of wanes a bit. I don't know.
But isn't that the same with almost everybody? Like, they're famous when they come out with something new. And then I feel like as long as he's on Glee, he's going to stay relevant. And I think he has enough actual talent. Like, he's not just some... Mm-hmm. I think he has enough talent to make a career, whether that be in mainstream movies or on stage in smaller productions. Like, he'll find work. So
yeah,
I'm not
I think
worried.
The fact that he was able to do Broadway is a testament to how much mm-hmm. talent he has, and I think he'll, if he can't find movie work, I'm sure that someone would love to have him in like a Broadway production of some sort.
He is going to be tied up with Glee, though, over the next couple of years, because that show yes. was renewed for seasons 5 and 6.
I know. Very funny to read the reactions to that on Hypeable. People were not excited.
Is he still pretty prominent on Glee?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like all about him these days.
Yeah, he's like the favorite on the show in terms of viewers. But yeah, so, I mean, I think he'll expand his movie career once Glee is done, but now he's tied up for like 2 more years, so.
Wait, yeah. So it got, just to make this clear, Glee got renewed for 2 more years, but that doesn't mean that their contracts have been renewed for 2 more years, correct?
Well, the reason that there was such a long wait is because they were waiting on renewing contracts. So, like, we don't know what the plan is for, presumably they'll all be back for season 5. We don't know what their plans are for season 6, but I would assume that the majority of the cast are going to be back for season 6.
Yeah, and usually they won't renew a show until the contracts are done, like Andrew said, because it just causes, you know, they don't want to cause any delays once they're in production.
I mean, I know this won't happen, but I would laugh so hard if the actors were like, no, I'm done. I'm not doing a 6th season. Goodbye.
We'll see. And exactly. That's exactly why they have.
Yeah, that's why they don't do that. Because yeah.
They would never do that.
Time is what costs so much money whenever they're filming TV shows. So they can't allow, you know, delays to happen.
Mm. Like, these actors make a hell of a lot of money. The show makes a hell of a lot of money. And the fan base is so intense.
Loyal. Yeah.
That if they had started leaving, they would just get such a huge backlash.
And a good example of that is Cord Overstreet, who left the show and then came back. Because I'm pretty sure what happened was he left because he wanted to pursue a career, you know, doing some other stuff. But then, oh, wait, it didn't work out. Glee, take me back, please. I'm sorry.
I can't get a job. My rent's due.
I'm nothing without Glee. I forgot. I let it all get to my head. No, but some people, including John Thrasher, who hosts Glee Chat, very excited about Glee season 5 and 6. So,
yeah, so they obviously have an audience left. You know,
yeah.
Shows don't usually get. I think we looked at how many shows have gotten, you know, 2 or 3 seasons renewed, and it was very, you know, very few had ever done that. So,
How I Met Your Mother actually did that, interestingly enough.
Yep, I think we counted that one, and I think House had, House MD had 7 and 8 renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Someone's going to fact check me and yell at me in the comments.
Let's get through a couple other stories real quick. We talked about John Barrowman on a past episode not coming on Doctor Who, and now he's speaking out about not coming on for the 50th anniversary, right? What did he have to say?
Well, he was basically saying, it was interesting, he was basically saying that the BBC didn't want him to come back, and he has a quote saying that everyone on Twitter tries to make it like it was my decision, but the bottom line is I was not asked. The powers that be don't want to put Jack in it, and I feel like one, that's a lie, because he went onto a talk show and he went onto a talk show and they asked him if he's been in any discussions, and then he said on that talk show, actually, I did just get contacted by the BBC. So I can't agree on anything, but I can't say anything, but something is happening.
Wait,
and
what?
So because of that, he got basically in big trouble with the BBC, and they're like, okay, you can't come on.
Oh, wow.
That's ridiculous, like, though. Like, come on. Why would they do? Then they're stupid, BBC, because
that's not
a good enough reason to not get Captain Jack on the 50th anniversary. Like, and that's ridiculous.
What's really funny is that no one seems to have noticed this, but on Twitter, like 4 or 5 days ago, I love John Barrowman and I love his character, but he was being such an ass on Twitter, because he was retweeting people asking if he was going to be in the 50th anniversary and not commenting on it, just retweeting tweets. And so people would tweet at him and be like, oh my God, I'm so excited for you to be in the 50th anniversary. And then he would tweet that as if it was like confirmation that he was in the 50th anniversary.
So BBC would see.
and then look, on Twitter, he later goes, I don't understand. Why do you guys think I'm going to be in the BBC in the Doctor 50th? And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, I feel so bad for him, though, because, and I feel bad for the fans, too, because Captain Jack is such a fan favorite. Like, he's probably, aside from Rose Tyler, he's probably the one non-doctor that people would be the most excited to see back.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, it was quite interesting.
There was a battleships. The battleships tournament has now ended. They are classic television tournament. And who won?
It's actually really surprising because it was Luke and Lorelai from Gilmore Girls. And I thought Corey and Topanga were going to take it all, but nope. Apparently not.
Buffy and Spike all the way, guys. This is very disappointing to me.
I know. They barely made it through.
Yeah, so I guess that's cool, though, that it was a surprise.
It was. It was very interesting. But I'm very excited for the next round because I think that one's going to... People are going to go batshit insane over the next version of Battleships.
Should we break the announcement now?
Yeah, go ahead. Our next Battleship tournament will be...
It's going to be books, which includes Harry Potter and Twilight and...
Oh, God.
And Divergent.
Oh, my God.
And Fault in Our Stars. So... You guys are going to have
Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a tough one.
It'll be very interesting.
Lord of the Rings.
We'll have a post for you guys to suggest your favorite books.
Is Game of Thrones going to be in it?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. I'm not planning on starting it until June, but we'll have a couple of posts so that we can select which books are going to be in this epic tournament.
And we'll have to make it clear to people to keep in mind the book versions of the characters. That'll help separate this tournament, too. Yeah. Okay, couple of podcast plugs. Let's see, what have we had new episodes of lately? I think, of course, Game of Owns, Selena's show.
Game of Owns. Oh, absolutely. I'll plug Game of Owns, because obviously Game of Thrones is in season right now, and Game of Owns we're all over it. We're posting new episodes reacting to each new episode of Game of Thrones every Monday. And then on Wednesdays, we release commentary episodes for season one. And on Fridays, we release really fun stuff. We've actually had, on this Friday, we're going to be posting an interview with the assistant to the showrunners, Benioff and Weiss, Kat Taylor. And the following Friday, we have an interview with the creators of the Game of Thrones Facebook game. We also interviewed the makers of the Merlin game, but that's a separate thing. So it's so much fun, and I hope you guys do check it out, because there's a lot of podcast content to get you through your week. And we work really hard on that, so we hope you enjoy it.
And there's also a new episode of Rewatchable, which is our podcast where we rewatch a show. And this show we're watching right now is Firefly. The sixth episode was just released, meaning going through episode six of Firefly. I see a show note here. Laura tells us which Mad Men actress is in this episode. And Tariq tells us what Andrew tweeted that made him want to watch the show. I know what tweet that was, the pot smoking and foursome tweet.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was like, wait, what?
That's what happened on the recent Mad Men episode, or that's what the proposal was anyway. Okay, and hype worthy this week, where we all make a particular recommendation. I'll start. My recommendation this week is a couple, actually, DVD Blu-rays that have recently been released. First of all, one that's about to be released, Silver Linings Playbook. We just posted an alternate ending. There was an alternate ending to the movie, which I don't think we knew existed, but the clip was released. You can watch it on Hypeable now. But that DVD comes out, next week. But also, Django Unchained was also released, as well as Zero Dark Thirty. A couple of the best movies of 2012. I highly recommend, if you haven't seen them, now's the time to go and grab them, because they are out for home entertainment consumption. Selena, I know you prepared. So what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is going to be, it's kind of cop out on my end, because I really wanted to recommend this despite the fact that I haven't yet had a chance to read it, which is The Elite, which is the second book in the following The Selection by Kira Cass. Obviously, The Selection is one of the books that has had a lot of press recently because the CW has picked it up. for a pilot potentially on the fall lineup for this year. And The Selection is just a super fun book. The Elite came out this week. And on Tuesday, and it was actually, I have to give AP Diggles credit for this on Twitter, because she's the one who suggested that I recommend it, and I really wanted to do it. I'm so excited to read this book. Anyone who hasn't read The Selection yet should check it out. And if you have read The Selection, go read The Elite, and let's, you know, Team Max on all the way. There you go. I said it. Hopefully by the next episode of Hype, I'll have read it and I can re-recommend it or talk about it.
Okay. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
Tariq?
I'm actually going to recommend a book as well, and I'm probably really late on the train because I think this book series has been out for years.
That doesn't matter.
I just got it. It was a free book that was given to me on my Kindle, and it's the Artemis Fowl series. It's actually really fantastic. It's about this kid who's like 12 who wants to take back his family's fortune because his dad got sent to jail or something, and his family fortune got sent away with him. And so he's trying to win back his family fortune to help his mother, who has that disease that makes you forget things. And it's all about how he's trying to steal gold from fairies. And so it's like this magical element plus this like sci-fi element, because he has all this technology that he's using. So it's really great. It's amazing because you're on two different sides of characters. Like, you're on one side with this character and one side with Artemis, and you don't know who to root for, and they're battling each other. So it's fantastic.
I read the first one. I liked it a lot.
Wasn't this the book that was practically branded as not Harry Potter? Because it came out around the same time,
yeah,
and people were all just like, what? This isn't Harry Potter. What's happening?
Yeah. And Josh.
I always have to read it.
I'm going to recommend the TV show The Americans this week. It comes on Wednesdays on FX, and it stars Kerry Russell and Matthew Rhys. Basically, it's in the 1980s, and it's when like the KGB spies are in America and stuff like that. And Kerry Russell plays a spy that she's with her husband, and they're both spies. And it's really interesting. It's kind of like Showtime's Homeland. With Claire Danes. So if you like Homeland, you know, they're both political thrillers. So, I'm really liking The Americans. So
I've wanted to check that out for so long.
Me too.
I really want to see
Wednesdays.
It.
Yeah. It's a great show.
Yeah. Actually, my cousin was recommending it because she was like, oh, you love Homeland? You're going to love The Americans.
Yeah. And Kerry Russell is great.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. We'll see everybody next time for episode Lucky 7. Hopefully we won't miss anything big over the next couple of weeks that makes everybody have to wait for our discussion.
Iron Man 3 comes out next Friday.
Right.
So make sure to check it out.
We will be talking about that absolutely on the next episode. I'm excited. I'm seeing it on Monday. So.
Oh, are you?
Good.
Yeah. Cool. So I think that's it. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you next time. Episode 7 of Hype. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.